I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is a fun song to add to your Halloween list. It's A Nightmare on My Street by DJ Jeff and Fresh Prince. I'm Scoot on the air. Yeah, this weekend's going to be a big Halloween party weekend in addition to Taylor Swift. And we welcome all the Swifties who are in town or heading into New Orleans at Champion Square. They opened up the Taylor Swift merch area, so people are just picking up on the merch. So I think it's the state that is moving the homeless people down a couple of blocks so they can't be seen by the Taylor Swift people who are coming to town. And there's a lot of controversy about this. I understand that the state and the city wants to look clean. I get that. And the same thing's going to happen when the Super Bowl comes to town. Is it fair? You got to keep your city clean. You can't make your city look like it's taken over by the homeless. I don't know what Portland did, but I go to Portland often. Portland cleaned up. They were a true mess, and I don't know what they did or exactly how they handled it, but the city of New Orleans should contact the city officials in Portland, Oregon, and find out what they did. Because while there's still homelessness and too much of it, and while they're still around, they have just generally cleaned up the city area. So, yeah, a lot of controversy about moving the homeless, but you got to make the city, look good, and they're moving them a couple of blocks away. So, I guess in defense of the homeless, I don't know. Why does it make that much difference? I know people don't like anything done with the homeless, and I feel badly for a lot of the people who are homeless. And we've talked about this occasionally. Some people are just, they're dealing with mental disorders. They don't know how to get help. There's help available for a lot of people, but they don't know how to get help. Some of these people don't want the help. They would, as hard as it might seem for you or me to live on the street, that's all they know. I'm not using that as an excuse, but I think that's a reason. And they live on the street. That's all they know. A lot of people on the street reject any rules, so they don't want to live under the rules of a house or a facility where they could be living off the street. They don't want to live like that. They don't want to live with those rules or regulations. They want to be out on the street doing whatever they want. I don't get it, but that's why that is such a complex problem. Hey, I want to say hi to Lewis Farmer. Lewis Farmer is with Window World, and he just stopped by here. I'm getting some new windows in my apartment. I need some new windows, and I'm getting some new windows in my apartment at West End, so I've got a nicer view of the lake, and he just came by here. He's from Baton Rouge, company's from Baton Rouge, and said that he has been a longtime fan, was a big-time fan of Garland Robinette, and Lewis was telling me that he loves when Garland would say, the Dema don'ts and the Republican can't, the Republican can'ts, and Garland was right about that. But Lewis Farmer from Window World, thanks for coming by. Yeah, look forward to getting my new windows. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. It is a Wednesday afternoon. A woman in her 80s was walking her dog. And this was in a place called New Forest, New Hampshire. She was walking her dog on Monday. And she was trampled to death by a cow. Days after, a 63-year-old man was charged at the same spot by the same cow. Well, we think it was the same cow. Now, recently, Donald Trump named the cow as his favorite farm animal. He says they're beautiful, they're cute or lovely or something like that. He didn't add this in, but I think he also likes the way cows taste. I think Donald Trump has bitten into a steak or two in his life. So this is really sad. I mean, who would ever think a cow would attack you? So Donald Trump, I don't know whether you know this or not, but Donald Trump is controlling cows now. He's controlling the cows. And he says if Kamala Harris becomes president, he said she's going to get rid of all the cows. He doesn't say how, but Donald Trump found out that this woman was a Democrat voting for Kamala Harris, and he directed the cow to kill her. Well, so Donald Trump is directing cows to kill people who are not going to vote for him.
What's your source on that? That sounds like not real.
Who needs a source? You don't need sources anymore. You just tell a good story, right?
No.
Isn't that what he does?
Yeah, but that's not what you're supposed to do. That's not what we do on this station. You can't just make something up out of whole cloth like that.
All right. Okay, but I was right about everything up to the point about Trump directing the cows. But that is as insane as suggesting that Trump or the government, that Biden is directing the hurricanes. I mean, that's how stupid that whole thing is for me to suggest that Trump is directing the cows. But yeah, so I mean, a cow comes along. I mean, nobody, who's going to be suspicious of a cow? You know, a pit bull comes by. You know, you might wonder, is this pit bull going to bite me or not? A cow comes by. Nobody's suspicious of a cow.
I don't trust
the
cow.
Trout tramples this woman and kills her.
I don't trust anything that's bigger than me.
Yeah, well,
you know, I don't trust a moose. I don't trust no cow.
Moose, moose can be rough.
Moose will mess you up.
Yeah, any animal.
Kangaroo?
Especially around the mating. Kangaroos are mean.
Kangaroos will jack you up, dog.
Man, those joeys will punch you.
Bam.
They will, yeah. They hit you with their legs. They balance on their tail, and they'll knock the hell out of you.
Whack.
There's a great video somewhere where somebody gets whacked in the package. His package gets whacked, and he gets bent over. Anyway, I just thought it was fun to tell the story about Trump directing the cows because, you know, it's a ridiculous story. So a federal appeals court in D.C. has upheld the conviction of the man who organized Cowboys for Trump. Now, he was part of the January 6th riots. He was part of the invasion of the Capitol. And the case is really kind of testing the fundamental approach of the Justice Department to prosecute hundreds of Capitol rioters. And this has upheld the case of Cooey Griffin, a guy from New Mexico who organized a group called Cowboys for Trump. He jumped over a stone wall outside the Capitol to try to stop the certification of the election. And so the court found that they can continue with the case, that it's a legitimate case. So he may be held accountable for that. And you know, a lot of those people who thought they were, you know, doing the right thing, man, they got busted, and you know, they're sitting in jail with great regrets. I wonder how many people who got charged and busted for the January 6th riot, I wonder how many of them are voting for Trump. I'm sure some are, but I'm sure some aren't. All right, time for Scoot on the Air news briefs. Former Trump's chief of staff John Kelly is on record now with new revelations about Donald Trump's apparent adoration for Hitler's Third Reich.
Vice President Harris is responding to the latest warnings from those who served in the Trump White House's inner circle. In interviews published this week, ex-Trump Chief of Staff John Kelly, a retired four-star general, says Trump praised Adolf Hitler and wanted generals like Hitler had.
He wants a military who will be loyal to him personally.
Harris says Trump's comments are shocking and unacceptable.
This is a window into who Donald Trump really is, from the people who know him best.
And in 13 days, America cannot give him a second term.
Those who once tried to stop him from pursuing his worst impulses would no longer be there.
Trump's campaign denies Kelly's accounts, saying he simply made them up. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
And Donald Trump is making more false claims that Kamala Harris isn't really campaigning.
Former President Donald Trump told Fox News Radio's The Brian Kilmeade Show that Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris is taking Wednesday and Thursday off.
I feel very good. She's taking the day off, and she's taking another day off. I don't believe in... I've gone 52 days in a row.
But she isn't. Harris is visiting a Philadelphia deli to thank supporters before attending a CNN town hall in the evening. And later in the week, she goes to Atlanta to hold a rally with former President Barack Obama and rock star Bruce Springsteen. Trump said about Harris earlier this week,
she's lazy as hell, and she's got that reputation.
And claims that he's campaigning harder than she is. The Republican presidential nominee has two stops in Georgia on Wednesday and will head to Arizona Thursday. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Ian, correct me on this. I mean, Donald Trump hasn't been exactly hard on the campaign trail every day either, has he?
Well, no. I mean, I went and looked at his I heard him say, I've been on the campaign for 52 days in a row. And I make a habit of every morning seeing, you know, who's doing what where. And so I knew that at least one day last week, Donald Trump had no public scheduled events. So no speeches, no rallies. He may have made an appearance at a delicatessen or somewhere. But I think in the strictest sense, when we're talking about if we're campaigning, I mean, like big public ticketed events, not like I'm going to stop in a donut shop. So if that's the definition we're going with here, then Donald Trump took a week off last week and a day off the week before that. No big deal.
All right, Kamala Harrison. Yeah, it is a big deal, I think. Kamala Harrison, Donald Trump are focusing on the swing states. And as I said yesterday, you know, maybe it's a blessing that we're not a swing state because, man, there'd be a lot of traffic jams and stuff if we were. They've got these wildly different strategies to energize the coalitions that they feel like they need to win.
Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are courting key constituencies with less than 2 weeks before Election Day.
Get out and vote, please.
Rapper Eminem and Barack Obama were an unlikely duo, headlining a Harris-Waltz rally Tuesday night in Detroit.
I'm nervous, but on the surface, I look calm and ready.
Harris has been targeting undecided moderates, college-educated suburbanites, and women.
My plans are focused on working people.
She spoke with Hallie Jackson in an interview for NBC News.
I will never assume that anyone in our country should elect a leader based on their gender or their race.
Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?
Donald Trump rallied with supporters in Greensboro, North Carolina, Tuesday night.
Too big to rig. We got to make it too big to rig, everybody.
Trump's team has been firing up his base with tough talk aimed at low propensity voters.
He talks about there being a bloodbath if he loses.
President Joe Biden met with Harris campaign workers in New Hampshire.
This guy is a danger to the Republic.
I'm Jennifer King.
All right, here's something that surprises me. I'm really surprised by this, considering how much Donald Trump has talked about not voting early, how long he went on. He's kind of subsided from that, but Donald Trump has been on rants about don't vote early, vote on Election Day. Well, right now, more Republicans are voting early, according to the records.
Former President Donald Trump has been encouraging Republican voters to go to the polls before Election Day, and that's what many of them have been doing. As of Tuesday, the Trump campaign said nearly 19 million ballots had been cast. Tuesday was the first day of voting in Wisconsin. Republican Gerald Bruns stood in line in Kenosha.
I'm voting for Donald J. Trump, and the reason being, I love his policies. Is he the greatest personality? No, but I'm not voting for personality. I'm voting for policy.
Raymond Lathrop said he also voted for Trump.
I didn't vote for him to be the pastor of my church. I voted for him to be the president of this country.
Maria Rodriguez said she supports Vice President Kamala Harris.
Predominantly because I am a woman of color and I'm, like I said, I'm moderate, but my body, my choice.
Republicans are hoping that a surge in early voting will fix a mechanical problem that some GOP blame for costing Republicans the 2020 election and key races in 2022. Donna Water, Washington.
All right, so the beginning of that story talked about how Trump is now telling people to vote early. But yeah, for a long time, he was very skeptical of early voting and wanted Republicans to vote and wanted his voters to vote on Election Day. Now, more Republicans are voting early, but that could mean Republicans who are voting for Kamala Harris are voting early. So we don't know what the tally is. We just know that more registered Republicans are voting now. But I would think that overall, that's a very positive sign for Donald Trump. Tim Walz, vice presidential running mate for Kamala Harris, made waves yesterday attacking Elon Musk as Trump's shadow running mate, calling him dip blank.
Elon's on that stage, jumping around, skipping like a on these things. You know it. Think about it. Think about that. That guy is literally the richest man in the world, spending millions of dollars to help Donald Trump buy an election.
Let's remember, there's no skipping in politics. J.D. Vance, the vice presidential running mate for Donald Trump, says that Tim Walz has a tough job trying to sell Kamala Harris to the people.
Governor Walz has to go around and somehow convince the American people that Kamala Harris is going to solve the very problem she's been creating over the last 3.5 years. That is tough. We should feel bad for him. We should say a prayer for Governor Tim Walz because that is a tough, tough job.
All right, that's it for Scoot's News Briefs. When we come back, we'll go to Ian Hoke with some of your text messages. So maybe we'll get to your text message coming up. If you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line is 504-260-1870. You know, maybe this is a question that we could talk about this afternoon. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Some of you are. Some of you are not. Okay, In what ways are you better off, or are you not better off now than you were 4 years ago? And be specific. And is that going to determine who you're going to vote for? If you want to join us, the Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text, 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we will be back on WWL.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Birthday today to Weird Al Yankovic. Guy's really creative. We'll do a couple of his songs today. Weird Al Yankovic, 65 years old. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. The White House is confirming that 3,000 North Korean soldiers are in Russia, and apparently they're headed for Ukraine. So, you know, this has got to be a real tough moment for Vladimir Putin, because remember, this guy thought he was so tough, and he thought he was going to just march through Ukraine like a hot knife goes through butter. Well, it didn't turn out that way, and he did not consider the will of the Ukrainian people. He did not consider the will of the world to fight against aggression on the part of Russia. And so apparently now he needs help, and he's bringing in North Koreans to do some of the fighting. So it's interesting. I mean, I'm sure they're glad to get out of North Korea, but I mean, to be in a war zone like this, and those friggin' Ukrainians, they'll kill you. I mean, they've killed a lot of Russians, and they'll kill these people, too. So sad that that war continues. All right, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Yeah, you've been asking people if they're better off now than they were 4 years ago. Here's a text that says, my portfolio doubled in the last 4 years. If this is a bad economy, I'll take it every day.
You know, there are a lot of Republicans who are going to vote for Trump, but, you know, maybe somewhere deep inside, they don't know what's going to happen. And maybe some of them are going to decide to vote for Harris, because anybody who's got big money in the stock market, they're doing really, really well. So for a lot of people, the economy is absolutely booming. I know it's not that way for everybody. The economy's not fair. Life isn't fair. But a lot of people who have 401ks and a lot of people with money in the stock market, they're doing really well under Biden-Harris.
Yeah, here's another one that says, I'm very much better off today than I was 4 years ago. The Dow and other stock market indices have reached all-time highs under Biden and Harris.
Yeah, so what's the spin on that? What is the spin on that? You know, that's something that really does drive the economy. And a lot of these are people who are in business, and they're creating jobs for other people. So there are signs that the economy is healthy. I hope it trickles down more and helps people, you know, at the grocery store, helps people like on the street. But in a lot of ways, they're positive signs to the economy.
The spin on that is that, well, that's just what the economists say. You know, it still costs $7.99 for a dozen eggs, so, you know.
No, you know what? I got eggs for, I don't know, four something the other day.
Remember that guy who called in? This was a couple months ago. He's like, the price of bread is outrageous. I go and I buy Dave's Good Seed bread at Rouse's. And I was like, bro, that's literally the most expensive bread on the shelf. Like, I like Dave's Good Seed bread, but if you're trying to spend less money on bread, get a different brand of bread, man.
Well, because, you know, so many of the claims about a bad economy are just totally false.
They really are. Here's a text that says, this one's a little bit longer. Not 100% sure which way I'm voting yet. I still got 2 weeks to decide. Am I better off than I was 4 years ago? I don't think so. I think I pay more for everything. I pay more for food. I pay more for electricity. I pay more for gas. Is it their fault 100%? Probably not. Due to have something to do with it being the administration in charge, probably someone, they get the blame. That administration is the one that's in at the time, 100%. That being said, I just want to add, if it was a Republican Party administration in charge, they would probably get the blame for it, too, because that's just what we do. We blame whoever's in charge for all the issues.
Well, unless you're Fox News, and unless you follow Fox News, then what you're going to do is you're going to get the message that it's not the Republicans' fault, that the president doesn't have that much to do. There was this economic expert on Fox 8 last night. I saw him. And at the end, he tagged out talking about the stock market almost being at a record level. And he said that whoever's in office doesn't have that much to do with the economy. And it's true. And there's quite often there is inflation during a re-election year. And if you go back through history, if presidents could control inflation, why wouldn't they have inflation down during the re-election year? But they haven't been able to do that because they don't totally control the economy.
I'll give you a couple more. Here's one that says, I'm better off now. 4 years ago, Trump was busy making billionaires money, including his own crime family. Another text says, yeah, 4 years ago, no more COVID problems and no more refrigerator trucks of bodies. Yes, I'm better off. Now, here's a text that asks, this might be one of those gotcha questions. It says, please explain what Biden and Harris did to help the stock market achieve its current level.
Well, I don't know, because as I have said, presidents don't have that much control. They don't have as much control over the economy as many people have been led to believe. If the economy is down a little, if inflation is an issue, which it is, but it's calming down a lot, then you've got that side that makes that a big deal. So I don't know what they've done, except maybe get out of the way. There's a possibility that Donald Trump can come into office and do things that change the economy in a negative way. I mean, you don't know. And let's just be clear about this. If Donald Trump wins, before he won the election, the economy in a lot of ways was booming. So he's going to take over a booming economy, and he's not going to be able to take credit for just a booming economy in the first quarter of next year if he wins the election.
I would offer this as a gotcha question, because you get questions like this, like, what have they done? And then if you have an actual answer like the Inflation Reduction Act or the Bipartisan Infrastructure Bill or the CHIPS Act that like rehomed a bunch of American manufacturing and stuff, they say those don't count. But the fact of the matter is, the entire world economy got clobbered in 20 and 2021, and the United States has the best post-COVID economic recovery in the world. Our economy is the envy of every nation on earth. And that doesn't mean that gas isn't still expensive, or that eggs and bread and milk aren't still too expensive, and insurance and housing isn't all too expensive. It is. But again, just like I'm saying like five times a day at this point, zoom out and connect the dots.
But that doesn't mean that Harris and Biden are given credit for the good economy. I mean, I don't give them total credit. I am better off now than I was 4 years ago. But that's not why I would vote for Kamala Harris. In fact, as I said, I think yesterday, look, there's every reason I'm going to vote for Donald Trump, because Donald Trump's good for my business. If Donald Trump wins, we'll have something to talk about every day. If he loses, we'll still have a lot to talk about, because there'll be a lot to analyze if he loses. There'll be a lot of bitching and whining and complaining and a lot of comments from snowflakes, and we'll talk about all of that if he loses, but he may win. So, we'll have a lot to talk about. But I don't vote for a president based on the economy, because if you understand that, and I'm not a good financial wizard by any means, but if you understand the basics, you understand that presidents just don't have that much control, direct control, over inflation and the economy. All right, if you've got a comment, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Taylor Swift coming to New Orleans. She was in Miami last week. She's here this week. So where does she go in between? Does she hang out in Miami, or does she come to New Orleans early? Does anybody know? And I wonder if she's going to get out and enjoy the city. You know, she's been here before. She was at Family Gras, you know, years ago. Some of you may have seen her there, but she is just a monster talent. And it doesn't mean that you have to like her, but she is somebody to be respected. I mentioned at the beginning of the show about her popularity, and I'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back, because there's something interesting to note about the popularity of Taylor Swift. And if you're on hold, stay with us. If you want to join us, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And why? And is that going to determine who you vote for? I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Man, I love that series, True Blood on HBO. Did you notice that in that series, the vampires were sort of treated like homosexuals, like the LGBTQ community? And the story was written by a gay guy, and I thought that was pretty fascinating. Like, wait a minute, you're not. Wait, you're hanging around with him? Wait, you're Wait. You shouldn't even be going to that bar because vampires hang out in that bar. Anyway, this is kind of interesting. On the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, the blog that I wrote yesterday is posted, or the day before, still posted. And it's also on the WWL.com website. But comments on the SOTA Facebook page, why are Trump's pants on fire? And Jeff has posted a picture of me, and it says, if TDS was a person, and it's a picture of me. And, you know, I mean, I think that's funny because, I mean, my life is great. If this is what TDS is, then everybody should have it. I mean, I have a great life. And I really am not down. I'm a very happy person. And people who have TDS, seriously, they're, you know, I mean, I don't know how happy they are. But as I've said so many times, I don't let Trump live in my head. You know, I'm not preparing for the show. I'm not on the air. Man, I'm living life. Let's go to Harvey. James, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on. Good afternoon.
Good, Scoot. I was going to say one thing, but now I got two. The first one, I think you guys are absolutely wrong. Trump took off a half a day off his campaign to go apply for an apprenticeship at Mickey D's a couple of days ago. So he did take off in time.
That's right, the first one.
Okay? Because it wasn't scripted. He went there for a job. The second one is, you keep saying something, and I might be wrong on this one, but it's just my memory. You keep saying she's too liberal to be elected. What I hear from that is, there were two other guys that the same thing was said about them before they won the presidency. One was Bill Clinton. They said that about him. And he was the only president in my lifetime that balanced the budget, that when he left a surplus for the guy who screwed it up. But I ain't going to talk about him yet. He reformed welfare. He put the internet in public schools and a whole bunch of other good things that he did. Now, the other guy, he was too everything to be elected, including some people said he wasn't even a citizen, and he was a Muslim. That guy won the Nobel Peace Prize. He reformed health care. He killed more enemies of this country, including bin Laden, and a few other things. So when I hear you say these guys are she's too liberal to be elected, that was said about two other people that accomplished a hell of a lot more than these conservatives we put in office.
All right, James, to my credit, I said when she was talking about running for president, when she was running for president before, at the time, she was too liberal. Bill Clinton and Barack Obama both did the same thing. Candidates become moderate during the campaign. And Kamala Harris has definitely changed what she talks about. And she doesn't stand for, and she's even taken back some of the things that she once stood for. So I was talking about her in the past. People have a decision to make, and some people don't like the fact that she's changed. Donald Trump changed. People accept that. But I guarantee you that if you look back, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama ran as moderates. And if they ran as extreme liberals, I don't think they would have won.
You're probably right. One more observation I want to make. Yeah. Between those two conservative guys that won and the two so-called moderates or whatever they were called, because Barack Obama was called everything but a child of God before he was elected, the conviction rate between the two, that's at least 66 convictions and more to come if one guy doesn't get elected, 66 convictions. Between Bill and Barack, one conviction. That's what I hear every time I hear one's too liberal versus one too conservative. So
But I'm not talking about convictions. You know, James, I'm talking about their policies and what they talk about and the things that Kamala Harris stood for. She was too liberal, in my opinion, to be elected president. And it's interesting that as soon as she gets put in the position, she changes her position to more moderate, because you can't be that liberal and win. If she still stood for those things that she stood for in the past, the polls would not even be close. But I appreciate your call. Let's go to Hammond. Irvin, you're on WWL. Thank you for hanging on.
Hey, Scoot. I think all of us right now have election fatigue, and most of us are waiting for these 2 or 3 weeks to get by. I want to remind everyone, with all the rhetoric and all the celebrities that are supporting each candidate, unless that candidate and his party or her party secures both the House and the Senate, you're not going to see the Democrats get the $6,000 for newborns or the $25,000 for first-time home buyers, $50,000 seed money for first-time business people. There'll be no real taxes on the rich, no big taxes on investments. And on the other side, unless Donald Trump wins with both the House and the Senate, there'll be no taxes on overtime, no taxes on tips. There'll be no big tax breaks like he's promising. There'll be no large tariffs, which could turn around and cause inflation. So what I'm saying is, you know, the day after the election, what I'm going to look at, irregardless of who's elected, is which party, if either, which I don't think either one's going to secure both the House and the Senate. I'll be surprised. If it happens, then whoever's elected president will have a mandate and will be able to carry on with all the promises. So what I think is going to happen is whoever wins, Harris or Trump, the other party is going to secure either the House or the Senate, which will be in a stalemate which we've been in for the last few years. Now, what I'm concerned about in this state is not the presidential election, because the electors are going to go Republican for Trump. I am very upset right now, not that black folks have gotten a second district, which I'm okay with. They're a third of the population. I'm upset that Cleo Fields is the leading candidate, and he'll probably win. The guy's a convicted felon, and nobody's going to challenge him with any credibility. Of course, he'll go right along with Edwards, Ray Nagin, Jefferson, the three insurance commissioners that all were felons.
Yeah,
so nothing is new. So that's my concern.
It's amazing the things, Irvin, that do not disqualify you for running for office. You know, you're right. I mentioned it yesterday, and a caller wasn't happy with me. He's talking about all these promises that Kamala Harris is making. And I said, okay, look, those are promises. But, you know, they all make promises. It doesn't mean they're going to keep the promises. And he's optimistic that Kamala Harris is going to keep all of her promises. And if you vote for her and you believe that, well, you have a right to believe it. But I can't help but be skeptical and realize that it takes more than the president wanting to do something and promising to do something on the campaign trail. They're not necessarily going to do it. And there's no guarantee that they're going to do it. The only way to hope that they do it is to elect them, so vote for them. But let's not be naive, because it does take an act of Congress to make a lot of things happen. And if a president doesn't have control of both houses of Congress, they're not going to be able to fulfill the promises that they want to fill. So, you know, let's just be honest about that. All right, on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1976, Chicago was going through a trend where they were doing ballads. And this was the number one song in the country, first of 2 weeks at number one on this day in 1976. Man, Chicago been banging out songs like Question 67 or 68, banging out 25 or 64. They had really great, some heavy rock songs. And then they started doing a lot of ballads, and this was among them. And another song I remember playing when I was doing music radio years ago. But this was number one on this day in 76, If You Leave Me Now. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, we wish a very happy birthday today to Barbara Ann Hawkins of the Dixie Cups. Born right here in New Orleans, Barbara Ann is 81 years old. If any of you know her, would you please tell her that Scoot wished her happy birthday today? You know, I've interviewed them a couple of times, and they're just really cool. And boy, they just have such an interesting memory of the entertainment business from a long time ago to today. But Barbara Ann Hawkins, 81 years old today. Scientists say you should not cold turkey viewing porn on a regular basis. We'll add that to the conversation next hour. I'm Scoot. This is WWL.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.